Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. Thanks for listening. It took some relentless pursuit, but after a few years of trying, I was finally able to get Wonky Tonk to sit still long enough to spend some time with me in the studio. A tireless performer and songwriter, she's preparing to release her second full-length album, Lessons Not Lovers, this summer. As we sat down together, I wasn't quite sure where our conversation would go, and though I resisted asking about the tired cliche of being a girl in a band, it just naturally kind of went in that direction. I found myself fascinated by her stories, her view on music, life, and everything. True to her nature, my conversation with Wonky Tonk got really real, and I'm very grateful to have been a part of it.
Was romantic, so I bought 50 shares of all of their semantics. Now the stock market's crashing and everyone is getting frantic. Shouldn't have believed that love could be bought. Now the hearts are breaking, the wallets are shaking, and I'm on the road again, just a driving and a waiting to learn how to love myself.
Thank you.
Wonky Tonk. Thanks for coming into the studio. I'm very happy we got to do this finally.
We made it. We made it happen.
How you doing?
Sorry. I'm up, down, all around, but good because I'm here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's new in the wonky world?
Well, as you know, all the touring. But we're releasing a new record for the first time in a really long time.
Lessons, Not Lovers?
Correct.
When's that coming out?
When it's finished.
Okay. I know it's in summer, and it's coming up on May, so I was curious where the
status is. In the mixing board. There's a guy named David Lee Mayfield, who is Jessica Lee Mayfield's brother. They're really great people, but he's also a musician, and so it just so happened that we finished the record at the same time he finished his. It's a band called the Cave Twins, and they're awesome. So he's out touring that, and I'm sort of contingent on when he can mix those things while on tour.
Now, he's up in Canton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have to go up there to sort of supervise things, or are you kind of trusting him to put his blessing on it?
I picked David Lee Mayfield because he spoke wonk. So I'm not going up. I haven't told him anything. I just trust him completely.
That's
huge.
Which
is pretty fun.
Yeah.
He's a whole different paintbrush, so I'm just letting him do his thing.
Now, I know you say you come from Northern Kentucky. So do I. So
yes.
What part of Kentucky you come from? Because you and I don't sound alike.
I'm from Coventonky. I guess I don't know why I talk the way I talk. Mm. Everything's wrong.
Or everything's right.
Right?
Depending on your perspective.
Hence wonky, you know? It just doesn't fit.
Give me some background. Where'd you come from? How'd you get into music?
Mm-hmm.
What's your development? And, you know, how'd you get from Covington to Wonkville?
Wonkville. Let's see. Music's always been in my life. Not so much playing it, but always live music. Growing up, basement shows. I don't know where punk rock's gone, but I am here because of it.
Mm-hmm.
and quite truthfully, I'm a fan of the Groupon. I like to let other people sort of not so much dictate where I go, but if they can see me from the outside without knowing me and give me a direction. So I got a Groupon for a tarot card reader a few years ago, and she told me to stop messing around with love and the things that I was doing in my life and go play music, because if I didn't do it now, then I might as well be dead. I don't know, she was in Chicago, but that's what I did, so I gave up everything and I have been trying.
So you took that huge leap of faith.
Yeah.
And that's where you are now.
Not so much, you know, I didn't take it in this realm of taking her word as the gospel, but sort of, heck, what else am I doing? And nothing else is working. Let's try it.
Well, and here, you know, now you're on your second full-length album.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is that first one came before the tarot card lady. And so it was never meant to be more than one. And that's why it's taken so long. But now you can't escape music when it's in your blood.
And it's so funny because you play solo, mm-hmm. you play two-piece, you play five-piece, you just kind of come and go with the wind. Where do you feel most comfortable, or does it really change?
Oh, my goodness. I personally, I feel comfortable in all the realms. What I love the most is the band, the High Life, who recorded with me for this upcoming record, Eric Dietrich and Alessandro Corona and Steven Patota. Mostly because I really love when a song is presented to the world the way that it should be seen and heard. And so they help give it the life that it needs for the world. However, I have been finding that when I am touring so much duo or with a band, that I pine for the therapy that happens when you just do a solo thing. So that's more personal, but for the song itself, I really love in the band formation.
Well, and the names you just listed off, of those that I know,
Incredible people,
incredible musicians.
Yes.
So I feel like if that was my band, I could just sort of lean on them and have total trust that
they
would make everything happen and sound great.
Yes, I agree. I'm so lucky. They speak wonk too.
Yeah.
Finally.
Does it take an interpreter?
No, it just takes the right kind of weirdo.
before we go too far, let's talk about that first song you just played. What is that called and what's it all about?
That one is called Stock Market, and it's about, sort of inspired by a Kroger or your local grocery store that carries everything else the day and days after Valentine's Day, where it's just kind of this graveyard of sinking heart balloons and leftover candy and half-dead flowers
for all the 25% off
right,
or more.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember walking into Kroger a few days after and just seeing the biggest part of those half-deflated heart balloons just all in midair and that big neon lighting, thinking about how funny love is, especially people that buy all of those things to show their love, and how hard it is to love yourself, and why I'm always on the road trying to figure that out.
Before we started playing, we were talking about, for lack of a better term, sustainability, how you can make a living being Wonky Tonk. How's that going?
It is a hustle. The parts that are hard are not what you would expect. They're mostly the hustle of sleeping in rest areas and making $2 and get pizza for free, surviving off of beer for calories and the Dollar Tree for all of your supplies, sleeping on couches. It's playing for 200 people, playing for two people, driving through blizzards. I mean, it's just on and on. You become a ghost in your hometown. But the sustainability for me is wavering in a realm where we're in this world of so many choices and options of music and bands and venues, and to a point where it's a commodity from an outsider, and I get told a lot that it must be real nice to be on vacation all the time. Or, honey, that's a monitor, not an amp. Don't plug your guitar in there, okay? And then more soul, it starts deteriorating your soul in that sort of realm, where normally if it's giving back to you in some other realm than monetarily, because art does not pay, you do it for your soul.
Are you making reference to things that people would say to you and not to, say, a male musician?
Mm-hmm. And the boys, the men will attest for it as well, as when we're on tour together, they always are approached with the questions or with the check or anything else, and I'm always dismissed, which is just sort of taxing after a while. It's especially when you've chosen it and it's all you do. So that part's hard, and then the sustainability is, I make no money. But I do side hustles, and I just work really hard to keep that afloat. But yes, I am referring to things that people say to me, not males.
And your name's the one on the venue. You're the top bill, and yet when it comes down to either the club owner or even the audience, it's second
true.
Class.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in our world, it's just kind of people don't know how to interact with the female on a business or economic level. It gets all weird in their brain, so they just go default, man, I know how to talk to them. But it does get hard, because it starts turning into weirder things, like people buying CDs and then sticking around for the rest of the show and saying, now what are you going to do for me, because I've bought you merch. These things that girls probably don't talk about ever, and it's after doing it for so long. I haven't even done it that long. What, 3 years? Just all the towns. It gets that sustainability, that part for your soul, gets a little.
And that's something that I would imagine would never happen, or very, very rarely happen, to a male musician.
I'm not in their shoes, but I would imagine not. It's kind of ridiculous.
Wow. Now, you earlier said something about being a ghost in your hometown.
Mm-hmm.
However, before we started, when you were playing, I put a quick picture of you up on Instagram, 10 minutes ago, and just the flood of people that were happy to see your picture. I don't think you're a ghost in the hometown. I think you have lots of love here in the greater Cincinnati area. like you said, you've been doing it 3 or 4 years, but I think that you have a lot of friends here in town.
I do. Thanks for putting on the interwebs there.
Sure.
It's not even so much musically in this town. It's more how people can relate to me is asking, how was the road and when are you going back? They don't know anything else. And I've created sort of that distance, but it keeps everyone sort of, there's the love, there's the camaraderie, there's the support, and I'm so thankful for that. But on the level of just any kind of personal relationship, friends, family, it just starts to waver. I get so far away from everyone, and they don't know how to interact. Besides, well, I think you're north. Cool. When you go back out and asking specific dates, and it's really sweet because they're trying to connect, but we don't know how to do it other than that common knowledge that I'm always gone.
Well, I was going to say, there's it kind of goes in two different directions. One being, when you're recording, mm-hmm. I know that you've done a lot of collaborating with local musicians, like you said, the High Lifes, but also I know you have a great friendship with Kate Wakefield and other musicians that you've either played with or recorded with or just have a strong relationship with. But yeah, then the other side of that equation is you do tour a lot. Mm-hmm. You are constantly in motion.
It's true. And so is beautiful Kate Wakefield and her band Long with Daisy. I love them so much. That's been a strange thing of being able to relate to folks like Kate and Daisy, who are also on the road all of the time. And sort of Kate and I are renowned for asking each other the day that we get home, how are you feeling? How are you acclimating back to quote-unquote home? You know, doing all right? Because it's such a strange thing to be still. But I am always on the road, and I chose that. If things are constantly moving, nothing can catch up to you.
Is that something you fear?
I don't fear that at all. I have a great time of when I have a bad time, you breathe in the light and you breathe out the baloney, and I leave it in. If it's a bad show, I sit there and I'll sit on the stage after the show and breathe in the light and leave all the rest of that junk on that stage, and then I move on. Because on the road, you can't pine on anything too long because you're already gone. And so it's not so much that I'm running from anything, it's a really good way of constantly just letting go. Dealing with it, letting go, as opposed to holding on to things that could poison you.
In that sense, if you're constantly on the move, when do you have time to germinate new song ideas?
Oh, man. This part is so weird. They just fall out. They just fall out. Like this morning, I was trying out this guitar that my friend Jamin fixed up for me, and most of the time when I think about playing music, I get really nervous and I hate everything. I don't want to do it because I don't feel like I can actually do it. But then there are moments where I have to sit down and do it the same way you have to breathe oxygen and the same way you have to sleep. Like, you feel it in your bones. It's like, I need rest or I need to play. And I just put on my phone recorder and see what comes out, and oftentimes when I listen back I can hear where my mind is because I'm not consciously like angry or sad or happy about something while I'm writing. It's just sort of coming out, and then I reflect on it later going, oh, whoa, that was happening.
I think you're the first musician I've spoken with whose name is also a listing in the Urban Dictionary. It may not be directly related to you, but there definitely
that was
is a
way
term.
After.
Yeah?
Okay. Way
you
after.
Were first. Okay. In as best as you can articulate, what exactly is wonky tonk?
Oh, goodness. I grew up with the word wonky in my family, just meaning off, not quite right. Not so much that it is wrong. My stepmom always says, I'm feeling wonky. Not that that's a bad thing. but I think wonky is just one of those things where there's just no place for it, so you have to put it everywhere. And the tonk part is, I mean, just the play on everything, there's Wonky Tonk Angels and the music. Before, I used to play banjo, and that's mostly where Wonky Tonk came from, is just adding that tonk to there, because we didn't think that Wonky could stand alone. So to me, I just think that it's sounds that don't fit anywhere else.
Well, again, I'm so glad you're here.
Happy to be here.
I have a question, and I'm not sure how to ask it. And
These are my favorite kind of questions.
And if you don't want to answer, just say, I don't want to talk about that, and that's totally acceptable.
But, okay.
A few weeks ago, my wife had a double mastectomy from a breast cancer situation, and I seem to recall that you had a breast cancer scare recently in your history. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
After that shaking your foundation, how do you rebuild from that?
You know, it's that moment also came at a time of a few other traumas. And I had survival mode going for a really long time. Gratitude and fixing things with tinctures and meditation and medicine, of course, but just the good vibes, because I had been so negative, and it talks a lot about, you know, negativity and stress can create all kinds of things in your body. But I kept going, and I'm only just now understanding, like, what that meant and what that means in so much a space of thinking about, like, the sustainability of Wonky Tonk or anything else. I think back, and I think I'm alive and unscathed. The world isn't that hard. What is my problem? So the bouncing back is, I think there is a really good, there's a lot of community for that. It made me feel a lot closer to women. The support that I got from females, which normally in my younger years, I was always a tomboy and with all the dudes, and never friends with too many ladies. So it's been a really nice time being a 30-year-old woman, finally connecting with women, even if it took that. And I think it took that community that helped to rebuild it more so than an inner strength. It felt really cool to be supported.
When you perform, either by yourself or with a band, the audience, is it primarily female, primarily male? What do you see out there when you're playing?
Oh, man. It used to be primarily male. It used to be all of my high school friends' dads. and then just males in general. But over the last about 2 years since I've started touring consistently, it's been a grand amount of women all sort of going, heck yeah, girl. Like, thank you for saying these things. Or a lot of times I meet boys, men, who I say, my girlfriend listens to your record all day long. So it's been really fun, again, that the women are growing in that way. I don't know if it's that I'm getting older or just a culmination of probably all the things, but it's slowly changing to be sort of a great mixture of all kinds of old and young. It's a lot of old people and a lot of kids that are kind of the bookends that really have the most fun. But now it's men and women as well, a good mixture.
And I don't want to put too much on you as this symbol of women empowerment, but what is your message to women young and old out there? You know, if you could sit down, let's say with the younger yourself, and say, you know, here's something you really need to know before you grow up too much, what would you tell them?
That's a great question. I think a big part of female empowerment, it gets sort of lost with terms like feminism and all of these like supercharged feelings. But really, I think it's about sitting down with yourself and starting to understand who you are in the realm of loving that person. Everything bad that has occurred in my life is because I let someone else do that, because I didn't love myself enough. And so each time I look at myself and I start to imagine the women in my life who I love, and I question, would I let this happen to them? And if I wouldn't, then I need to start looking at myself. And the more that I do that and the more I can talk about it, the more that love grows. And sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. But I would say that for anyone, but especially women, because we're taught to feel guilty about a lot. So don't feel guilty. Question everything.
All right, let's take it in a slightly lighter direction. The album comes out this summer.
Yes.
I know we already said you're touring all the time, but what are your plans for this summer? I know you're listed to play something called Bend Fest.
Yes, the Bend in the River Fest, which is that's May 18th at the Sanctuary, which is not the Southgate House Sanctuary. That got all swirled up. That is a benefit for an organization that helps out the Price Hill community. I believe it helps... I said yes because I like to help, but I don't know all of the details, but you can look that up. It's Bend in the River Fest, and that is soon. That one is a makeshift band of Eric Diedrich, who usually plays bass, and then there's a fella named Will Lucas, who is playing drums instead of Alessandro. So we'll see how that one goes.
What other shows? I think you're heading up north to, Wisconsin?
Yeah, we're going up north with the band to Wisconsin and Minnesota, Iowa, I think. A few places. The Driftless region in Wisconsin, which is amazing. It's where all the hippies are, and I love it. I'm taking a little break from touring. Making a record takes a lot of money, and so all the money that I had saved up isn't going into this. And now I need to reassess all the thing. So I'm out for work if anyone needs anything.
Well, again, I'm really grateful you came in to spend some time with me today. I'm so glad we finally got to do this.
Heck yeah.
One last song before you leave. What is the song and what's it all about?
Oh, boy. This one's called Never Trust a Doctor. It's not written, but in parentheses, with your heart. This was about the same time as the breast cancer scare. I was engaged to a very bad person. And so on all the levels of female empowerment and loving yourself, sort of never trust a doctor with your heart. And always trust your gut. This song's all about that. Which is really fun. And on the record, Chuck Cleaver from Wussy and Kate Wigfield are both on this, and they make it incredible.
Wonky Tonk, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. High five. We did it. Which life is it? Which both sides lie? Well, I don't know how I feel for you, but I do know why I try. You fashion yourself the one that I was hoping to find. Love is blind. too thirsty for you to the start. Money to the wanting, cash as cold as your heart. Well, I never saw it coming, though you implored me to try. Stone eyes and crocodile tears, you got off on walking the line.
My most sincere thanks again to Wonky Tonk for stopping by the studio to play some songs and to spend some time together. Look for her second full-length album, Lessons Not Lovers, to come out this summer. In the meantime, look to catch one of her many live performances coming to a club near you. Visit wvxu.org/lx for links to her website and to more information. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. This episode was recorded and mixed by the wonderful Josh Elstro and produced by me, Jim Nolan. The theme music for this episode is by Scott Holmes and comes from the Free Music Archive. You can find out more at freemusicarchive.com. Until next time.